Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. When Perfect is Not Good Enough: Strategies for Coping with Perfectionism is a cognitive behavioral self-help book by psychologist Martin M. Anthony, commonly published with psychiatrist Richard P. Swinson in major editions. The book addresses perfectionism not as a harmless preference for excellence, but as a pattern of rigid standards, fear of mistakes, overchecking, avoidance, and self-criticism that can contribute to anxiety, depression, anger, relationship strain, and reduce functioning. Its purpose is practical rather than inspirational. It helps readers identify how perfectionistic beliefs operate, test whether those beliefs are accurate or useful, and gradually change behaviors that keep distress alive. The book is structured like a guided workbook, combining explanation with exercises, self-monitoring tasks, and cognitive behavioral strategies. It is best understood as an evidence-based manual for readers who want a structured way to reduce the costs of perfectionism while preserving realistic goals, competence, and responsibility. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, perfectionism as a rigid system rather than a simple desire to do well. A central contribution of the book is its distinction between healthy striving and perfectionism that becomes psychologically costly. The authors do not treat ambition, care, or high standards as problems by themselves. The difficulty arises when standards become inflexible. Self-worth depends on flawless performance, and normal mistakes are interpreted as evidence of failure or inadequacy. This framing is important because many perfectionists resist change out of fear that lowering pressure will mean becoming careless or mediocre. The book instead argues that the target is not competence, but rigidity. A person can continue to value quality while loosening rules that demand certainty, constant approval, or total error prevention. This distinction gives the reader a more precise problem to work on. Rather than asking whether one should care less, the book asks whether current standards are realistic, whether they are applied evenly, what they cost, and whether they actually improve outcomes. That reasoning helps separate productive effort from compulsive self-monitoring. Secondly, cognitive distortions that make mistakes feel dangerous. The cognitive behavioral foundation of the book appears most clearly in its treatment of perfectionistic thinking. The authors focus on patterns, such as all-or-nothing evaluation, excessive responsibility, catastrophizing, discounting success, and assuming that others judge minor flaws harshly. These thoughts matter because perfectionism is sustained less by objective consequences than by predictions about what mistakes supposedly mean. If a small error is interpreted as proof of incompetence, or if a delayed reply is taken as evidence of rejection, the emotional reaction will be far stronger than the situation warrants. The book encourages readers to identify these interpretations, examine evidence for and against them, and generate more balanced alternatives. The aim is not forced positivity. It is a disciplined assessment of whether the perfectionistic rule is accurate, fair, and useful. This method makes the book practical for readers who already know their standards are stressful, but do not yet know how to challenge the assumptions that keep those standards in place. Thirdly, behavioral experiments that reduce avoidance, checking, and reassurance seeking. The book emphasizes that insight alone is usually not enough to change perfectionism. Perfectionistic habits are reinforced by behaviors that temporarily reduce anxiety, such as repeated checking, excessive preparation, procrastination, seeking reassurance, or avoiding tasks where performance could be judged. These behaviors feel protective in the moment, but they prevent the person from learning that imperfection is usually tolerable and that feared outcomes often do not occur. The workbook approach, therefore, includes behavioral experiments and gradual exposure to feared mistakes or uncertainty. A reader might intentionally submit work after a reasonable amount of review, leave a minor imperfection uncorrected, or practice making decisions without exhaustive comparison. The point is not recklessness. It is to test predictions in real situations and gather evidence that anxiety can decline without ritualized control. This behavioral emphasis is one reason the book stands apart from purely reflective self-help books. It asks readers to practice different actions, not merely adopt different opinions. Fourthly, links between perfectionism and anxiety, mood, anger, and body image concerns. The book treats perfectionism as a transdiagnostic pattern, meaning that it can appear across several forms of distress rather than belonging to only one problem category. The authors discuss its relationships with worry, social anxiety, depression, anger, obsessive-compulsive tendencies, and body image concerns. This matters because perfectionism often hides behind other complaints. A reader may initially notice procrastination, chronic tension, fear of criticism, or dissatisfaction with appearance without recognizing that the same rule-based self-evaluation is operating underneath. For example, social anxiety may be intensified by the belief that one must appear completely confident, While depression may deepen when ordinary shortcomings are judged as global failure, anger can emerge when other people do not meet the same uncompromising standards. By mapping perfectionism across life domains, the book helps readers see recurring mechanisms rather than isolated symptoms. This broader perspective also explains why change can improve more than task performance. Reducing perfectionistic standards can affect emotional regulation, relationships, and everyday decision-making. Lastly, self-acceptance through realistic standards rather than abandoning achievement. A recurring practical theme is the development of standards that are demanding enough to guide effort, but flexible enough to allow ordinary human limitation. The book does not ask readers to celebrate mistakes for their own sake or abandon meaningful goals. Instead, it encourages a shift from conditional self-worth to realistic self-evaluation. This includes judging performance in context, recognizing partial success, allowing learning curves, and treating errors as information rather than moral verdicts. The authors also attend to the interpersonal side of self-acceptance. Perfectionism can make people critical of others, reluctant to delegate, defensive about feedback, or unable to enjoy relationships without performance pressure. More balanced standards, therefore, have social as well as personal consequences. Readers are invited to consider what their current rules cost in time, energy, closeness, and pleasure. The value of this approach is its moderation. It offers neither permissiveness nor relentless self-improvement, but a way to preserve responsibility while reducing the suffering caused by impossible requirements. In conclusion, this book is especially suitable for readers who recognize that fear of mistakes, excessive checking, procrastination, harsh self-judgment, or impossible standards are interfering with work, study, relationships, or emotional health. It will also be useful for people interested in cognitive behavioral therapy because it shows how thoughts, avoidance patterns, and repeated safety behaviors combine to maintain distress. Its practical benefit lies in structure. Readers are not only told that perfection is unrealistic, but are given ways to monitor standards, challenge predictions, and run behavioral tests that create new evidence. Intellectually, the book clarifies why perfectionism can coexist with high achievement while still reducing well-being and flexibility. Compared with many self-help books on the same theme, it stands out for its clinical orientation, workbook format, and careful distinction between healthy striving and maladaptive perfectionism. Its style may feel more instructional than intimate, and readers with severe anxiety, depression, or obsessive-compulsive symptoms may need professional support in addition to the book. Still, its strength is precisely its methodical quality. It offers a grounded, research-informed path for people who want practical change without vague encouragement or oversimplified advice. If you would like to support Martin M. Anthony, PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.